Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to move Mickey Spagnuolo to 1140 for the next couple of days, which means right now it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy. Gridiron Gravy, of course, brought to you by Rhino Shield. Why paint your house when you can shield your home? Visit rhinoshieldtx.com. All right. So the NFL is making some expansions. We've talked about this for a while. The NFL next year is going to play their first regular season game in Berlin.
Berlin.
They announced today. The game will be played at Olympic Stadium. It's the fifth regular season game played in Germany, but the first one making its way to Berlin.
That's nice, man. That's really... I love these games because I love hearing the energy from the other crowds. They're very excited.
Yeah.
It is a different aura. And Mike's right when it comes to baseball fans and the like, their engagement with the game. Fans in around the world engage in this NFL game, and that's really cool to see. So good for them.
The NFL and Nike have extended their partnership all the way through the year 2038 with Nike to continue as the uniform partner with the NFL, in case you cared. Now, let's power rank.
Was Nike with baseball this year? Didn't they do
the jerseys,
the bad jerseys?
Yeah.
So, all right. Supposedly, they're going to improve the jerseys and the pants quality for MLB this year.
So maybe don't take so many risks with the football stuff. You know, that's all I'm saying. Don't have to risk anything.
That feels like that would be problematic. Do you think it's fair to say right now that Drew Lock is the worst starting quarterback, followed by Mac Jones?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, watching Drew Lock
is pretty bad.
You could throw them in the pot together,
his mom and dad are hoping he goes back to backup quarterback so he can stay in the league longer.
Now, good news for Cooper Rush. He's skyrocketed up the power rankings from 31 to 28. So the quarterback power rankings go like this. Drew Lock's the worst, followed by Mac Jones, Desmond Ridder, Spencer Rattler, and Cooper Rush, followed, of course, by Will Levis. We might talk more about that a little bit later in the show. So... that's the garbage group. Aaron Rodgers is just ahead in that group as well at 26. So that's the bottom of the barrel for quarterback power rankings.
So 2 years ago, maybe three, he was number one.
Sure. Or in that mix every week. Now he's this. Who would you put at number one right now? Feels clearer.
Josh Allen.
They lost, though.
Probably so, because it's still his game was awesome.
Yes, that is true. The Bills have scored at least 30 points in 10 of their 13 games. That is an astonishing rate right there.
They still have some holes. Like, that's what's weird is how good they are, and they still have some holes.
Very fair.
Kind of similar, maybe the Cowboys a little bit, where they've faced some tough teams and lost to tough teams.
Okay.
Trying to figure out what they are.
Interesting hypothesis, and they've got Detroit.
And that was the comparison to them last year was the Cowboys. A lot of people were comping them.
What would you go after Josh Allen? It feels like everyone pretty much agrees Josh Allen is the MVP favorite right now, number one quarterback.
Burrow
is in fact number two on the list.
He's taking that step up for sure.
His team's just not that good.
No.
Or his defense, excuse me, is not that good.
Yeah, I'm with you on this. I get how good he is. Are they still like, I feel like Goff isn't getting as much love as he should for the record that they have and the stats he's putting up.
Where would you put Jared Goff then?
Well, that's why I'm mentioning him right now. I might put him at number two, but
okay.
I guess I'll throw it at three since we already know Burrow's two.
But that's what I wanted to know, because the top four go like this. Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Jared Goff.
Okay,
Jared Goff is up to number four. That's... pretty damn good.
I don't mind that at all. I mean, Lamar Jackson, I get the team's record is starting to get to the point where you're like, Pittsburgh's going to win that division. They're only going to be a wild card team. He's not super in the MVP conversation anymore, but that's fair. Those four guys are probably the four best. I struggle to put anybody else in there unless we want to go with the history and what he's doing in the fourth quarter, Patrick Mahomes.
Now, Patrick Mahomes, and this is where it's been strange all season. Patrick Mahomes is number 10. And I know he's been lower by his standards for most of the year, but they just keep winning. But the person who's at number 5 has had one of the more interesting seasons in the entire NFL. Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert has only 14 touchdown passes this year, but he also has one interception.
Yeah, wasn't like Joe Burrow and Lamar have very low interception numbers.
That
too.
Is true.
I think Josh Allen has very low interception
numbers. That is also true.
But their touchdown numbers are in like the 28s.
Yeah.
So Herbert is a weird thing to me because they've won games.
And that defense has been, by the way, Josh,
kept them there.
Yeah, Josh Allen has 23 just touchdown passes, not to
He's
mention
got 33 total.
Yeah, the ones he runs
for. Yeah, 10 rushing. Justin Herbert's game doesn't look like the Chargers rely on him.
Sure.
It looks like the Chargers are winning games and sometimes he does plays. You know, that's how I feel about it. Just what I've watched. I'm like, okay.
That's my favorite bit of analysis gotten today.
When we were watching him in his rookie season, it was like the whole team is going to rely on him. It's going to be like Joe Burrow. Like the way Joe Burrow looks right now, but he doesn't even look anything close to it. And maybe that's because Harbaugh came in and said, we're scaling it back on you and your responsibilities, and we're going to be more of a run-first team, which they are.
Coming into the year, a lot of people had C.J. Stroud as a top-5 quarterback.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
I'm wondering,
he has fallen.
I'm wondering where they have C.J. Stroud at this point as we're getting late in the year.
He's been surpassed, too, by Jordan Love, I feel like most people would say, at least for this season. C.J. Stroud is number 18 on the list.
I feel like that's too low in my opinion. But
Kyler's also 19, which I think is too low.
Who
I know
are the three people in front of him?
The three people in front of him, and this is why, I mean, one of them has actually really stepped it up. Geno Smith, Tua, and Bo Nix.
That's fair.
And then Stafford.
If you could pick today for the next 10 years, and I get team, coach, all these things, it matters.
But I'm still taking Stroud.
Stroud, Bo Nix.
Do I have Sean Payton?
That's the tough part is that, you
Sean
know.
Sean Payton has turned Bo Nix into a really good quarterback. So I'm probably going to go with Stroud. Unless I have Sean Payton.
And I think it's like how they're playing right now and probably over the last 3 to 4 weeks more than maybe the first 4 weeks of the season. Yes. But
Denver's defense also has given Sean Payton the confidence that he can do some things with Bo Nix and take some risks, and Bo Nix is living up to it.
I still think C.J. Stroud is a star.
Agreed.
And has the ability to win an MVP in his career.
But he's
maybe I need
back.
To watch more Bo Nix, to be honest, because I don't feel like Bo Nix is going to be a future possible MVP.
I'm not saying future MVP, but he has stepped up his game remarkably from the first month of the season.
I said a few weeks ago I would put my money on Bo Nix to win the Rookie of the Year over
Jaden Daniels.
So
I wanted to go back to something, Corey, that you said about Justin Herbert for just a second, because it is a fascinating breakdown of the way the season has gone. When the Chargers won 4 straight, Justin Herbert in those 4 games, 7 touchdowns, no interceptions.
Okay.
In the 3 games since then, their offense has scored 23, 17, and 17. He has 1 touchdown.
Yeah.
And so when you talk about, because their defense is very, very good. I was skeptical earlier in the season, but their defense has proven to be very, very good. But it is amazing to see these games where you're like, that's the Justin Herbert I know, versus now we're going to grind it out, lean on the defense and score when we need to score.
Yeah, and I mean, it really was, let's look at that 4-game winning streak. Dobbins had 57, 85, Edwards had 55, and I guess Herbert was the leading rusher in one of them for 65. Earlier in the season, it was Dobbins. Like, that's where they were leaning very heavy. And look at the first part of the season, Kevin. This is Herbert's passing yards. 144, 130, 125, 179. Like,
yeah.
That's what you were getting to start the season, and it was leaning heavy on the run game. And then now you've seen more in the 349-yard game. That's a loss to Arizona. All the numbers for Herbert, it seems like he's averaging about 220 yards. And that's about it. But you're right. Those touchdowns were a huge factor while they were getting really good defensive play in that run.
And somebody did ask about Justin Herbert. Excuse me. Let's try that again. Jalen Hurts has similar numbers to Josh Allen. He's not in the MVP conversation. I would dispute that pretty heavily based on like a lot of the numbers that they look at. I know that Hurts has more rushing touchdowns. That is to be for sure. But Jalen Hurts, 16 touchdowns versus 5 interceptions. Josh Allen, 23 touchdowns versus 5 interceptions. Just passing. That's a big difference. And Josh Allen's QBR is 11.5 points higher than Jalen Hurts. It's the best in the league, and Hurts is number 9. So I don't necessarily agree
with that. Hurts is a very interesting study. He's so smooth in what he does. Everything looks pretty easy, but then the pass isn't thrown. And you're like, why wasn't it thrown?
I feel this way. I know they're different quarterbacks, but if Dak's ever going to be successful again, you have to give him the Philadelphia Eagles team that Jalen Hurts has.
Okay.
I know that they're different because I don't think Dak can run to save his life anymore.
Right.
When he comes back from this injury, and he was struggling even before. But if I get A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert and the offensive line they have and Saquon Barkley and then a solid defense, I can win with Dak. I can win now 12 to 14 games again and be like the Eagles. I just am like, how do the Cowboys, I know this isn't a Cowboys topic, but how do the Cowboys get the Eagles team?
That's a fantastic question. Sell 8% of your team for $664
million. Well, that's not going to help you make smarter business decisions.
No, you're right about that. That's going to take smart business people to do that. Now, Kevin, this is just a thought that I had this morning. I want to get out.
Okay. See ya.
Cooper Rush has been fine, right?
Yeah.
Fine.
Fine.
But
I guess
in the moment where he was asked to do something special,
can't do it.
He couldn't. He's not built for that.
I agree.
And when it comes to Dak, there are a lot of things that we bang our head against the wall about that really irritate us. But there is the ability to be special in moments from Dak. We've seen it. And if you're saying, no, there's not, you haven't been watching Dak throughout his career. He has moments where he can be special. Specifically, throwing on the run is something he does well. And he's had to do it with this team. And there are some special qualities that Dak has. That's what you're seeing right now. And that's the difference between these top-tier quarterbacks and the guys that are backups that are kind of having to fill in here is the top ones do more special things more often. And the other guys, you're just like, when? We have a chance. But you're not going to see much special out of them.
And do you think that's the appeal to a certain extent of Trey Lance, that you're not positive he can't do the special thing?
Yes.
You've seen it in spurts where you're like, he probably can't, but you're not positive. Where with Cooper Rush, you're like, he'll give you a very workmanlike, he gives you everything he's got, but that's going to be all he can ever do.
And right, and the thing about Lance, though, is I still don't know if he can do the regular things well either. So that's like the thing, the times we've seen him, the regular things haven't been great. But have you gotten the opportunity to see whether or not he can have that special moment?
Now, I wanted to just throw this out there. This is a nice story. I know I'm going to say politics. It is an apolitical story. The Senate has passed the what at first seems like too long of a title, but then you see where they're going with it. The Cardiomyopathy Health Education Awareness Research and Training in Schools Act, or the HEARTS Act. And that was championed by Damar Hamlin. And that has also passed the House. It's going to get signed in by President Biden. And it's funds CPR training and the availability of AEDs in schools and other places.
Awesome.
And I feel like that's something that hopefully we can all be like, hey, that feels like a good thing.
Yeah, that is wonderful. That's fantastic.
Let's go.
Thank you, NFL Senate for doing that.
Good job, Damar Hamlin. All right, let's go from that to Max Crosby. Max Crosby is a tough son of a gun. He has played 446 consecutive snaps.
He shows up.
That is the longest streak by a defensive lineman in the history of NFL Next Gen Stats, which sometimes I think means since we started to care and counted things more carefully. And that goes back to 2016. As a defensive lineman, he has not missed a single snap since week 6.
And he's an irritant.
Yes. Yeah, in the best possible way.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. I don't want to play against him.
Now, Mike, what do you think about this purchase? Tom Brady's 2000 NFL Combine t-shirt. What do you... Oh, man, I hope you're watching on the Twitch or the YouTube. It feels like perhaps...
You're not a fan of the Combine,
a huge
Mike?
Fan.
Well, you remember that it was a very baggy shirt.
Yes.
There's nothing that's unique about it.
It says Brady on the back.
What do I think it sold for, or how much would I pay for it?
Tell me both.
I bet it sold for $150,000, and I would pay $500.
Okay. Tom Brady ran the slowest 40 of any of the quarterbacks, but what a savvy guess by you. It sold for $144,000.
I saw one of his Patriots helmets without a sticker on it sold for over $100,000.
Yeah, because they just had a big Tom Brady auction.
Geez, can we get one of those for Peace-a-thon?
You know, at the movie Wicked, they Heritage Auctions recently sold the pair of Red Ruby slippers that
Dorothy.
I know, but Garden, what's her name?
Judy Garland.
Judy Garland.
Yeah,
Judy Garland.
That she wore. Yeah. Do you know how much those went for at auction?
I do, but billion.
Billion dollars.
Oh, okay. Way less then.
Okay.
I thought you said a million.
Holy crap, two billion?
I thought you said a million.
Because 2 billion doesn't sound like way more, but it is a lot more.
Could have done that or bought the Rangers.
Yeah. Just think about it. A million to 2 billion.
They're not even real rubies. It's
1,000 more million dollars.
Okay.
So just if you ever need to put that in perspective, I know the answer to this. So Corey, it's more than a million, less than a billion.
Okay. 30 million.
You're close. It's here in Heritage Auctions. It sold for, was it 32 and a half?
But depending on if you include the buyer's premium, between 32 and a half and $35 million.
For shoes. For the ruby red slippers.
Which?
Wizard of Oz.
And wouldn't you argue one of the most famous movie props in the history of motion pictures?
Absolutely. And you can donate those to the new Wicked movie. And be like, hey, you want to use these?
No, they made enough money and they're coming out with a part two. They're doing just fine monetarily. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. For some reason, Alec has decided to take off Thursday and Friday. So coming up next, AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, plus the greatest sports TV show in history is back at it again. We'll hear from them next here on the KNC Masterpiece.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan with an excellent text from the Frankel and Frankel injury attorney text line. Y'all watching Arliss? All right.
The PBS cartoon about the anteater?
Arthur.
Something?
No, that's Arthur.
Oh, okay.
Arliss,
he's all balling his fist up.
Was a TV show from the late 90s on HBO. I've definitely seen it. It's been a really long time since I've seen it. So are you watching it now? Like, what brought that to the top of your mind? And now it's time for this.
What does this button do?
Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful.
One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. I introduced myself as the Pride of Mansfield, Texas yesterday, which I still believe. Somebody said I can't be the Pride of Mansfield, Texas. If I haven't been to the Mansfield Hurtado location recently, I was there last week. So take that, 469.
You and Noah Syndergaard.
Yes.
Is that your competition?
I think so. I know he went to Mansfield Legacy, so that was a rivalry there. I think he was a little bit before my time. Not too far ahead, but a little bit before my time, and he is the pride of that school for sure. But it is time for my time, not his. 877-881-1053. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line to answer the question of the day. We'll get to that here in just a second. Plus, Inside the NBA is back at it. And I'm glad they're not going anywhere because they give me content. And their content makes me happy. So the question of the day, because I won't be here tomorrow, I apologize. I know you sounded defeated when you teased the segment. But tomorrow is actually National Poinsettia Day. Yes, the flower.
Don't let a dog eat it.
This is true. So I'm going to ask
you. Kill them.
It's just a flower, right? How do you stop them? You just don't plant them?
How do you stop what?
A dog from eating a flower. I feel like that dog probably should have died.
You put some,
you
put a fence around it or some sort.
Oh.
You put it in a pot.
Like,
put
the dog got into the poinsettias. Like, what was it doing eating flowers? It's a meat eater.
I mean, my dog likes to eat dirt. So.
Dude, dogs lick up antifreeze and it kills them. Like, if it's dripped and has a puddle, so if it smells good.
Man, what was that shoulder? That shoulder shrug felt like Mike, and I might be misinterpreting.
Yeah,
but you know what? If your dog laughs up antifreeze, maybe it deserves
dog
to die.
Yeah. Well, let's get that trait out of the dog.
Thanks, Mike.
Just clip that gene.
For National Poinsettia Day, I'm going to ask you, outside of your Christmas tree, because that's the easiest answer, what is your favorite holiday decoration at your house? 877-881-1053.
And it was an investment that I was like, I don't know why we didn't do this sooner. And maybe people are like, that's not a classy Christmas decoration. That's fine. Is the little red light up candy canes that you can line your walkway with?
Yes.
We have gone out of our way to make sure we line up both sides of the walkway. And I don't care if people think it's overkill. I think it's cool.
Do you want more?
Yes.
I'm getting rid of mine.
Oh, you're kidding me.
This year
I would love to block
done.
Out the entire yard just the candy.
Just make a moat out of candy canes.
I have amazing. Enough, Kevin, to go from the front porch all the way to the street.
I'm in.
But
I want them.
Because they ran out of the certain size.
Oh, yeah.
The half of them are short and the other half are tall.
We can figure it out.
And I told Adrian, I was like, I'm done with these this year. I'm not doing them anymore. And she was like, that's fine.
That's fine with me, too.
We have like lollipop ones.
It's the same concept.
And
Do
they just do different colors? Like they're just like, or are they just staying one color?
Ours are just the red to go along with the white of a candy cane.
Okay, like ours inside though have like different, you know, like whatever. It just does different, like, I don't know what to call it, fireworks inside of it. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Okay. Yeah, I get it.
It's amazing.
I think he said it right. I think he said it right.
Burning.
Well, they're not fireworks. It's just the lights are doing different colored lights. So it's like, oh, they're all green and now they're all blue and now they're, and then they go back to white. And, you know, and then, you know, it's just one of those things.
I gotcha.
The, this is a present that I would get for Adrian every year, but she also.
Did you get that gift for that someone special?
No, like not that gift.
Elf?
So when That's she was working at Starbucks Company, one of the guys would buy all the women at the all the women.
Interesting, very sexist gift.
He would
here.
Buy them the Godiva chocolate bear. Okay.
Okay.
And it had embroidered on it the year.
Where's PJ Washington?
So we have like 20 of these Godiva chocolate bears. And I picked it up after she left. I picked it up and I started buying it for her every year. And we have them on top of the piano. Sometimes they're at the fireplace. But this year or last year, they stopped making it. Godiva just got rid of it altogether. And so they don't have it anymore. And so now I had a built-in present for Adrian and I got to go find something else to replace that. So, but I love those. Every
year
we get them
out. Elf.
We watch it every year.
Get her that gift.
You know, Mike, that's not a bad idea.
It's fair.
Except
fair
game. From, except game is from game. The kids.
Oh, my God.
Let's see. From the 469, my Christmas village, I did see one that I think was texted in either by Kevin or specifically for Kevin. From the 817, they said their kid has a little Tykes nativity set that she replaced Jesus with Grogu.
Okay. That feels blasphemous, but no, I'm just kidding. But also, we have one of those, but also the one I was going to say is we have this kind of like porcelain or I guess ceramic Simpsons Christmas village, and they have little lights inside of them and you plug it up and it lights up. And so we have like the faux snow underneath it. It is super cool.
Let's see. From the Frankel and Frankel injury attorney, text on your favorite holiday decorations at your house outside of your Christmas tree. For me, I would say, I've mentioned it before, Kevin, and I still haven't sent you a picture of it. All of the Star Wars inflatables we have out in the front yard.
I want to see it.
Yeah, because we've got the corner lot, so we have a lot of space we have to fill.
Cool. You got Corey's old house?
Yeah, just
there
not in Play-Doh.
There are more than one corner lot, and he just said he lives in Mansfield.
Yeah, I'm not big time yet like Corey. Not as rich as him.
Yeah, can't
afford
Plano.
Yeah, I can't afford Plano.
You can move
yet.
To the part of Plano where it's still Plano.
Yeah, I could probably. That's not. Probably more in my budget. Yeah, I'm not. Lying.
What,
I'm not.
What does that mean?
There was one day where we were talking about where I live and I was in Mike said something, and I was like, yeah, but it's still Plano. Like, it's not that bad.
I think Plano East versus Plano West.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Plano East's motto is, it's still Plano.
See, from the 469, I decorate my Arliss DVD box set with a giant red bow.
Okay. Is that from the same person as before? Do we have this weird groundswell of Arliss lovers?
Arliss is making a big comeback.
Let's see. From the 214, my Nutcracker collection. I actually have one as well.
I think that's what I'm going to replace the teddy bear with is Nutcrackers.
They're so fun.
Because last year we got Adrian one for her birthday, and I feel like we can just continue to do that now.
I think last year might have been last year or the year before. My dad got me a Mandalorian one, and I have a Yoda one that sits on my desk during the Christmas time. I've got like a cowboy one. I've got a Dallas Cowboys themed one. Like, I've got pretty much every interest, every genre of like activity I like. I have a Nutcracker that's themed like it.
So I think my favorite at our house is from Mary Grace's, our daughter who's 19, her second year of life, we took her to North Park Mall to get her picture taken with that Santa Claus. Very long line for that Santa Claus.
But is she two or is she one?
I guess she's one,
but not
said it
two
was
yet.
Weird. Yeah.
Well, isn't that like, it's she's
I,
one.
I gotcha.
But her first Santa picture, I think we went to Redbird Mall, which is called something else, and like the Santa had like a kind of a wrist tattoo or whatever. It's kind of weird.
The one at North Park is like in demand, demand.
So from, to the story.
Oh, sorry.
So from that year on, we always got our family picture, not Sue and I, but like the kids' picture with that Santa until COVID shut that down.
I gotcha.
And so up to that age, we have the kids like 5x7, I believe, is the size of every year of their picture with Santa until COVID shut it down, and then that Santa died.
Was there ever any pushback from your kids on that? Like, I don't want to.
They always hate it.
At the end.
And then they're happy.
But we would try to do this at North Park Mall. We'd be like, we're going to go see a movie, you know, we're going to do something. But I don't even know if North Park has a Santa anymore.
They do. It's a different guy, obviously, because he's no longer with us.
Guy died. Yeah.
But last night, we have all those pictures in the same frame. So we just kind of updated it every year. Last night, Lucy picked it up and she was just sitting there staring at it. And she goes, I want to go back. And I was like, oh man, we got to go back to do this Santa thing again.
And what would happen is my wife would have to, she used to work close to North Park Mall.
Like 7
You'd have to get there at 7:30 to 8 a.m. to get a ticket.
Yeah.
The mall wouldn't even really be open yet, but it'd only be open to get your ticket for a picture with Santa. Then when the kids would get out of school, I'd pick them up from school, drive them to North Park Mall, where we would have been in like the 10 a.m. to noon part of getting a picture.
Okay.
But they would just put you in the next group that you were there with, since your number was like literally getting there at 7:30 a.m. Your number would be like number 97. So there's already 96 people. And then they'd be like on number 400 at that point. They're like, well, you're number 97.
Just slide you up to the front.
Yeah. Really screw up all the people that... And then you'd see all the people, too, that would be like, hey, we just got here. They're like, yeah, best case scenario, it's 9 p.m. when you get your picture taken.
it was kind of
miserable. Maybe that's what killed
times.
Santa.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
He just passed
in away. Other news, random note I want to throw in before I run this inside the NBA sound. This is from Bob Nightingale. I just found this really interesting. He says, believe it or not, one of the most aggressive teams before he signed an 8-year, $218 million deal with the Yankees, Max Fried. One of the biggest, most aggressive teams in his pursuit, the Athletics.
Really? Which would annihilate the all-time biggest contract by, what, threefold?
That's amazing. The other day when they were showing the winter meetings on MLB Network, I was like, why are they showing this kind of crappy little stadium? And they're like, yeah, we're previewing the Athletics. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's where they're playing this year.
Gross.
It's a nice minor league stadium, but they're like, why are they, is there a special game that I don't know about? Kind of like the game in Alabama this year. And then it ended up being a very big Willie Mays tribute. And I was like, what? And they're like, oh, they have to play every home game there.
That Vegas money is already kicking in. If you've paid attention to social media recently, you might know that this analogy that Kenny was trying to make on Inside the NBA, probably ill-timed.
You think Jay-Z
probably not a good time right now.
Yeah, or,
that's a good point.
This is Shaq walking off the set right now.
You're silly, man.
Go see if you can fix the wall, will you, Shaq?
Fix the wall, man. Yeah.
Here, Pat, here.
Fix the wall,
I'll go.
Man.
I can fix
my
the wall.
My point was.
Too soon, Kenny.
My point was.
You think.
Tried to make a Jay-Z analogy, and Chuck was very quick to say, probably not the right time. Shaq and Ernie both get up and walk off the set and go stand in the corner.
Yeah, man, that looks potentially awful.
His response statement, though, was incredible. If you haven't read it, Rock Nation put out a statement.
Yeah,
it was fiery.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Oh, very fascinating.
You should read it.
Okay. I think you personally would love it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's very Kevin Hagelin.
It fights back.
Okay.
So there you go.
I just want to make something clear too. Ciroc Vodka and the company that owned it with Diddy has terminated that partnership. So
okay, good.
If anybody has any concerns or questions about
it. There we go.
Good. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, another excellent edition of AM on the FM. Coming up next, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, right here on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. How's it going?
I mean, it's going pretty well. I'm still sad about Overshown, and that hasn't really changed. But I'm curious. I know you got a chance to hit up the locker room. What did you hear? Anything of interest that you think we want to know?
Yeah. The tone in the locker room really didn't change much from Monday night. Same thing about, talking about Overshown. They're probably in there another 15 minutes, but I don't know if he was going to come out and talk or not. At least if he does, there's enough cameras there and microphones,
yeah, we'll catch
and recorders
it.
Will catch it. But I thought, since you brought it up, when Mike Zimmer was talking about it yesterday during the coordinator's time with us day after game, he said all the complimentary things about him that everybody else has said. And I think, I'm not sure if I've seen an injury have such a profound effect on so many other people. And you guys have heard it, right? The guys talking about it, Micah Parsons tearing up.
Yeah.
The whole realm of it, the coaching staff. And so someone asked Mike if Overshown, his play and his impact on this team this year, reminded him of anyone else. And he kind of hemmed and hawed, and then he goes, the closest comparison I can give is Darren Woodson. And I'm going, whoa, wow. Darren Woodson? We're talking a Ring of Honor player, a guy who should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Do the right thing, NFL.
And and if you get compared to Darren Woodson, I'm not sure there's much higher honor given you, right?
Yeah.
And I remember when Woody got here his rookie year, and he was sort of the same type of player. They weren't built the same, but Woody got here as a hybrid linebacker at Arizona State. And the Cowboys saw, and credit to Dave Campbell, because he was the one that kind of scouted him before the draft, they saw a safety in him. And so they weren't sure how quickly he can make that transition from college hybrid linebacker to NFL safety. So he spent the majority of his rookie year on special teams. And then the next year, he ends up as a nickelback, a starting safety, but playing in the slot on the nickel. And I remember Jimmy Johnson one day told me, he goes, that might have been the biggest mistake I made since I got here. And this was during when he was still here. He goes, because Woody could have done this his rookie year. I wasted a rookie year on him in the slot. He could have gone to safety and handled it perfectly, and I should have done that. And I said, whoa, that's a pretty good compliment coming from Jimmy. And so if you're compared to Darren Woodson, I'm not sure at this point in his, 13-game NFL career,
right,
there's a higher honor, right?
Yeah, I remember Parcells telling that story about when he first saw him going up to Jimmy Johnson being like, where did you get this guy?
Right.
And just like, good gosh, you guys got really lucked out on this one.
Yeah. And I could remember when he got here and he started playing special teams, and Campo tells the story and he goes, hey, now you better be productive because I put my neck on the line to get you here. He goes, you better not let me down. And Woody tells the story all the time about Campo just kind of reading him the riot act about how good he needed to be.
Things worked out, it seems like.
Yeah. So that's just the impact of not only his play and but again, just the guy he is. He's so positive. Smile on his face. Last year he tore his ACL, right? And it's like, okay, well, I got to get to work. I'll see you guys next year, da-da-da. And now he's got to go through this again. And I think, you know, after yesterday, we realized the gravity of the injury when you tear every CL you got in your knee.
The terrible trio.
A, P, and M, now, I heard the good thing was that he didn't damage any meniscus. And a lot of times when you have that severe of a knee injury, some of the meniscus gets damaged. And that's one of the things that they have the hardest of repairing. And, you know, they've done the different deals where they try to inject, blood platelets into where the missing meniscus is to try to regenerate the growth. Because there's no surgery, there's no, you know, artificial meniscus that they can put in there to replace, the cushion between your kneecap and the bone. So the good thing is that didn't happen. It didn't sound like he suffered any nerve damage, but this is going to be a very difficult rehab, a lengthy one, and they're going to do the surgery as quickly as they can, if not tomorrow, Friday, or by the weekend.
Now, in his stead, because unfortunately the nature of this business, the nature of sports, you got to move on. Who's next? Who's getting playing time? We saw Leah Fowle come out there and get the sack and not the face mask call, which I approve of. Is that who we think is going to take a bulk of the time? And if so, are you excited to see more from him?
Yeah, you know, and he's been playing when they've been in their three linebacker sets. And then, you know, they've used Overshown. They leave him in there when they go two linebackers in their nickel. But, yeah, he ended up in the game with a sack and a half. And so now it's his turn. And one of the things that I think all the analysis was coming out of Notre Dame that this was a linebacker that could play three downs, that he had the ability and the agility to cover get into pass coverage. It looks like he would be the logical one to go out there, especially now that, you know, if you wanted to go big nickel or something like that, Marquise Bell is out. Wanye Thomas is not healthy yet. So I think he's the logical choice. And yeah, just another hit on this team. And then you got to factor in the Cooper Beebe injury, the concussion. I think McCarthy kind of said that we'll see how that one goes. There's a chance that he could get back out of concussion protocol by time the game rolls around. But, you know, that one's difficult because it's not your doctor making that decision.
Sure.
An independent doctor has to clear him. And he's got to go through all the steps and practice and see how you recover the next day. But that's just another starter that, they could be without going to Carolina. Which, by the way, and stop me if I told you this yesterday, but I read where the Panthers are 2.5-point favorites.
It's the first time in 2 years they've been favorites, Mick.
33 games without being favorites.
Yikes.
So that tells you what people think about what's left on this team on the field going. And they've played better, right? The Eagles are pretty fortunate to come from behind to beat them.
Yes, a good thing for Legette not being able to hold on to the ball.
Right. So a difficult season becomes more difficult. I don't know what else we can say about it, and we'll see where it goes, I guess. They need a whole bunch of people to lose to keep them in the hunt, but they got to win themselves.
You know what, Mike? I want you to turn on your microphone so you can ask that question.
Is this the game the Panthers regret trading Mingo?
That's a good one. Well, you know what? Poor Bryce Young. he had nothing around him, right?
Yeah.
His rookie year, and then this year it got a little bit better, but they traded guys away. What was the wide receiver they traded? Didn't want to play for the Raiders. Deontay Johnson, was he a wide receiver or was he a cornerback?
Wide receiver Deontay Johnson, he was with the,
not the
Steelers, the, went to the Carolina. They went to the Ravens, yeah.
And then he went to the Ravens, and then they're going to send him in to play, and he said, "Nah, I don't feel like playing."
Yeah, he didn't want to play on a drive, and they were like, "All right, fine,
fine. Well, sucker. Okay, you're suspended, and you're not going to get paid for the next week." The kids these days.
Oh wow, man.
He's well, right. You know what? That thought went by in my mind last night watching the Mavericks and OKC. I don't think I've seen more 3-pointers tried in my entire life.
Well, Mickey, I have terrible news for you about the current NBA game. That is just the way
it's
going.
I mean, it was every possession. Maybe it was just the third quarter. I don't know. I didn't count. I needed to look.
I did this the other day, Mick. I know this gets off topic and we got to go.
Sorry.
But, in the finals this year, I think there was an average, the Celtics and Mavs, I want to say an average of 71 threes attempted per game. And if you go back to the 2011 finals that the Mavs won, it was, I want to say, an average of 31 or 36. I forget because I did the math, but it was like in 2011, you would see 36 3-pointers shot in an NBA Finals game total. And last year, you saw an average of 71 taken.
It was unbelievable. I thought
so
I was
just
watching.
Where the game's going.
I thought I was watching an all-star game. Like it didn't matter if you win or lose, just keep jacking up threes, see how many we can hit, right?
Yep.
And so it got funny because then every time they got the ball and they had the ball behind the line, I'm yelling at the TV, shoot it, shoot it. And they did.
I like it. Thank you very much, good sir. We'll catch up with you again tomorrow.
All right. See ya.
There you go. Mickey Spagnola right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, I was going to suggest we could talk some more about the Panthers or talk more about Mavs Thunder, but people seem to also want more baseball. The Rangers are making some moves. Let's talk more about that next right here on The Fan.